My name is Jeremy Devins, and welcome back to the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. Today, we'll talk about a question that came in from Heidi L., a listener, about imposter syndrome and what to do after your YTT. And I'm hosting a free live workshop called Deepen Your Practice. You can go to quietmind.yoga/deepenyourpractice, all one word, and sign up for free to this workshop where I'll be talking about the three-step path to deepening your own yoga and Ayurveda practice. Very excited about this. I'm actually sharing one of the most profound life-changing exercises that I've done for my own personal growth, and I attribute a lot of my own personal happiness and fulfillment to this exercise, but I haven't shared it many places before, but I will share it at the workshop and how you can use it to your own benefit and your own growth. So very excited about this, and it's free. I like to do something for free like this regularly, and it has been a while since I've done the Deepen Your Practice workshop. So looking forward to it. We've already got lots of people signed up from around the world. It'll be really fun. quietmind.yoga/deepenyourpractice. So this question about imposter syndrome comes up all the time for yoga teachers. It's so common because I think why, and I've talked about this in other episodes, but it still keeps coming up. Why does it come up? I think it's because yoga is this tradition that has so much respect around it. And I know for me, when I first went to yoga classes, I had so much respect for my teachers and just felt really inspired by them and thought to do that must be a very high level skill. They must know a lot of stuff. And it is a high level skill, and they do know a lot of stuff. And if you've taken a YTT, you know that there is a lot to learn. So how do you go from student to trainee to teacher and bridge that space from you finished a training to now you're on the other side of the room. Now you're in the front of the class and people are looking to you for the answers in the same way that you look to your teacher looking for guidance. So one thing to think about, I'm going to share several things to think about today and consider, but one thing to start is that idea of when you're looking at a teacher, when you go to a class, what are your expectations? Are you expecting them to know everything and be perfect and have no flaws? Probably not. You're probably expecting them to be humans that just have this really good skill and they're really good at teaching and really dedicated to their practice. So that's one thing, is knowing that your expectations of others is probably realistic, but your expectations of yourself might be unrealistic. And you might not hold a teacher you go to their class, you might not hold them to the standard of being perfect, but you might hold yourself to that standard. And obviously, nobody's perfect. We all have flaws. We all have insecurities and doubts and make mistakes and so on. So if you wouldn't hold a teacher to that standard, why would you hold yourself to that standard? And I would argue if you do hold a teacher to that standard, that will likely lead to disappointment or disillusionment in the long run. We've seen so many cases now at this point in yoga history of gurus being false or taken off of their pedestal and so on. So at this point, I think it's fair to say we can all know that yoga teachers are fallible and human, and there's no need to put them on a pedestal as infallible or superhuman. There's just people who like taking care of their health and spiritual practices and connected to this lineage that they're part of. But it doesn't need to be anything more than that for us as students and also for us as teachers. So the next thing I want to consider is just reflecting on the progress that you've made. So think about how much you've achieved since starting your YTT and the investment that you've made in your time, your energy, financially, to invest in your practice. That's worth something, right? And if you've learned something in your own practice, if you've had a moment of being in a class and feeling inspired and learning something, you can very likely transmit that to someone else. As my teacher would say, yoga is caught, not taught. So if you've never taken a yoga class, you're probably not going to be a good yoga teacher. If you've taken even one class, you probably learned something you could teach. But if you're listening to this, you've probably taken dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of classes. And at this point, you've probably had some epiphanies and experiences that really resonated with you or stood out to you. Learn some things that you could probably teach someone else. So if you've had this feeling of noticing what your shoulders are doing in Warrior Two, noticing you're hunching up your shoulders. You can transmit that and help someone else notice if they're hunching their shoulders up in Warrior Two. If you've had this feeling of coming into class feeling tight and tense and like you're inflexible, and then you just do your best and you end up feeling good after class, you can help someone else have that experience. This is the most common question, most common concern that students have is, oh, I'm not flexible. I don't know if I can do this. Do you think I could do yoga? And you've probably at this point experienced what it's like to feel inflexible, to feel tense, and still practice anyway, and feel great. And if you've experienced that, you could help someone else experience that. It doesn't need to be the most life-changing, profound class they've ever taken. It doesn't need to heal all their injuries and make everything better and they found enlightenment. But could you help someone feel a little better today? Could you help someone feel a little less tense in their legs, in their back, in their hips, or whatever? The next thing to consider is your own emotional state. It's normal to feel uncertain or to lack confidence. It's normal to go into a new field and see how much everyone else knows and have that help you know how much you don't know and be aware of that. And that can have you feel insecure or afraid or doubtful. These are normal feelings. And energy in motion is what creates emotion. So emotions are energy and motion. And when that emotion moves and expresses, and you feel afraid and you just say, like, I'm feeling nervous about teaching this class, don't know if people are going to like it. You know, if you just express that, maybe to a friend or a teacher, the energy is moved and it no longer is stuck and no longer makes you feel stuck. I often think back to the first yoga retreat that I led in 2016. First time doing my own thing. I've been part of lots of things, but first time teaching, you know, everyone signed up because of me and they're there for me. It felt like a lot of pressure at the time. And I reached out to my mentor and I was freaking out a bit. Like, am I ready for this? Am I doing the right thing? Should I cancel it? Oh my gosh, what are people going to think? Like, are they going to like this? And at that point, I'd been teaching for 5 years and she said, they're there because of you. They like your class. You know, they come to your class. Just teach your class. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And you can just teach what you know. You don't have to try to teach something you don't know or you're not ready for. Just teach what you know. So that dovetails into some other topics. But the main reason I shared that is because my emotional state completely changed when I just talked to my mentor about it. And I voiced those feelings. I could have just kind of bottled it up or tried to withhold it or, no, I'm super confident. I got this. I know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. But being vulnerable, really opening up and just saying, I felt doubtful, insecure. I didn't know if I was ready. I wasn't sure if I could do this. I lacked confidence. Even after 5 years of teaching, even after all of the students who signed up have told me many times they loved my classes, but now it was something new. Right, and if you're coming out of a YTT and you're going into just teaching, that's something new. And it's normal to feel insecure and not fully confident when you do something new. So noticing those emotions, and there's also maybe some emotions of excitement. Sometimes excitement and fear kind of feel like the same thing. Maybe you're actually just really excited about this, but it's like a nervous energy. It feels like it might be nervous, but it's a feeling to be expressed. So let it express, share it with a friend, journal about it, go to your own practice with it, meditate with it, let it move through your body. Don't ignore it, don't deny it, but acknowledge it. And then maybe within that there's some lesson too. Maybe you feel insecure because you've been asked to teach an arm balance workshop, but you don't practice arm balances. So you are an imposter. You are the wrong person to teach that. And you're not being authentic to yourself. So that may be the time to say, actually, I'm not going to teach this. I'm going to find a colleague who loves teaching arm balances and have them do it and ask them to teach it. So the emotions have a lot of information for us. We have an emotional guidance system. I love the Abraham Hicks work on this emotional guidance system. It's telling you when you're on path or off path, when you're in alignment or out of alignment, in the same way tension in your body does. But it's emotional tension. So the next thing to consider is just starting small, right? Little by little, as my Ayurveda teacher would say, if you're going to make changes in your life, don't have to make massive sweeping changes overnight. You can do little things little by little, and those will lead to big things in the long run. Drop by drop, the pot is filled with water, right? It's how we have big things. We start with small things. So you might start by just teaching your spouse, who hopefully is not going to ridicule you and judge you, ideally. They likely won't. And maybe your family and friends. They might tease you a little bit. They might be awkward and giggle at certain things, but it's breaking the ice. It's somebody you know. They're not going to disown you because you taught a weird yoga class and did your best and you forgot which side you were on or whatever. And then maybe you branch out to friends and they bring their friends. Oh, it's a stranger now. It's a little bit different. Maybe you reach out to your yoga teacher colleagues that you did the training with, ask to practice teaching each other, go back and forth. And then you branch out to maybe you do a donation class at the rec center in your town or at a local event, or just set up shop at like a farmer's market or ecstatic dance and just invite people to come practice some stretches with you. Start small. You don't need to be this big overnight sensation, and you probably won't. But if you start small, you eventually could. And whatever your dreams or aspirations are, they have to start with small steps. And it's good to have those big visions and dream big and all this. But every big vision starts with a small next step. Next thing to consider is just keep learning. So a lot of people will say this, like, you think YTT is the end. You do your yoga teacher training and now you're ready to teach. But in a lot of ways, it's the beginning. And this is kind of the phrase you'll hear a lot. It's actually just the beginning. And it really is. It's like, okay, now you know what you don't know. You know some things that you needed to know, but you know a lot that you don't know. And it's just infinite. And even the best teacher trainings are great, but the knowledge is infinite. It's a lifelong study, like all Vedic teachings, many lifetimes even. So keep learning, keep growing, take more trainings, keep being a student as much as you're a teacher. It creates this nice reciprocity and flow of inputs to outputs, insights from your teacher to guidance to your students, and they have their own insights. And then there's a huge, beautiful ripple effect, which is a big part of why I think teaching is so powerful. But keep learning, keep growing, and you'll have more to teach. The best teacher is the best student. Next thing to consider is practicing compassion for yourself, self-love, self-care. How would you talk to your best friend who just started a new job and is feeling insecure? Probably tell them, that's normal, you're gonna learn, you're gonna make mistakes. Have a growth mindset. Growth mindset is, what can I learn from this? Try something, see what happens. A fixed mindset, the opposite of that, would be, you fail, you're just a failure. You're gonna keep failing. You failed once, you're in the wrong path, just give it up. That's a fixed mindset. It sees obstacles as roadblocks, then you just stop. But a growth mindset is a very healthy thing to have psychologically in all areas of life, but particularly with something as big and bold as stepping out in front of a room and then telling them what to do for an entire hour and nobody talks back. This is what yoga teachers are doing. It's a vulnerable position for your students to be in, but it's even more vulnerable to be in as a teacher, where every word you say is being deeply, intently listened to and affecting somebody's body and their movements and their awareness and their breath. So be compassionate to yourself. Be aware of what you're doing and the space you're holding and the weight of that, but also know that it will take time and you will get better over time. The next thing to consider is just visualizing your success. So what do you want to be in the long run? Where do you visualize yourself in a year, 5 years, 10 years as a teacher? Do you want to be teaching one-on-one, privates, groups, corporate, online, courses, memberships, mentorships? What is the next right step to move in that direction? So if you start from the vision of maybe you're a teacher who leads retreats around the world and you lead teacher trainings and you feel in flow with your life, you feel aligned, you feel empowered, you're empowering others, people have amazing feedback for your classes. So when you see all that, when you envision that, then it becomes very obvious where you're not those things yet. Oh, you want to lead retreats, but you've never led a retreat. You've never even been to a retreat. You don't even know where the nearest retreat is. So that becomes very obvious of, well, maybe you should go to a retreat yourself first if you want to lead retreats. Or maybe you've been to retreats, but you've never led one. Maybe you should go with a friend, who a colleague, or you reach out to somebody. Would you like an assistant teacher at your retreat? I'll pay half, you know, I'll pay for my room and board or something, and then I'll teach for free. Any opportunity you can to move in progress towards your success, towards your vision, is worth it. And I taught so much for free, anything I could do when I was starting out. I didn't care. I wanted the experience because I had a vision of where I was going as a teacher, and I knew that experience would get me closer to it. Next thing to consider is seeking support. As I mentioned before, mentors are incredibly helpful. They save you so much time and strife and confusion, and they will steer you clear of a lot of obstacles and mistakes that they've made and just accelerate your path dramatically. So surround yourself with supportive community, fellow teachers, mentors, guides. Join online forums, go to yoga events. Do things to be around people who have the results that you have and who are on the path that you're on. And when you're walking next to somebody who is maybe also at the same level of experience as you, and you see what they're doing, and you can bounce ideas off each other, and you can collaborate, it's so fun. It's the best. I've collaborated so much with teachers. We like do a workshop together. Oh, she's really good at sound healing. I'm really good at this. Let's do a workshop together. You know, worked with an acupuncturist. I do this, like I'm actually very into sound healing. I did the sound healing, she did the acupuncture in the class. So it's a really beautiful combination of things that it's kind of rare to find that. And if you can find opportunities to connect with others, peers, mentors, guides, that will make your path so much smoother and clearer. And so much so in this yoga tradition, it is so much a teacher to student relationship, a practice based path, where the more you practice, the more you're in sangha and community, the more you have guidance from others, the more you have to share with others. And then the last idea is just being authentic, being true to yourself. So your way of teaching is not my way or another's way or anyone else's way. You might be really inspired by some teachers and want to teach like them, but your way is going to be unearthed by you. It's like this archaeological dig that will take a few years. So when you finish your YTT, you're going to just be repeating stuff you've heard for a while. And then suddenly you're going to say something that you haven't heard before. And you'll be like, wait a minute. No one else has said that. I just said that. I just came up with a new way of thinking about that. I just did something just spontaneous and authentic. I feel like I'm finding my style. I'm finding my voice. And you'll keep doing that. You'll do it again in the future. And eventually you develop this sort of repertoire of things you've heard from others, things that you've uncovered from yourself, things you learned in your own practice, things that you found inspiring, quotes that resonate with you. But it's your own way. No one else can do it. And when you let yourself come through in your teaching, what you're practicing, what you're learning, challenges that you've overcome, now you're being really authentic and true to yourself. You're being the author of your life. And I think that is one of the beautiful gifts about being in the role of a teacher, is that you're in this constant demand, really, to be authentic, to be true, because the students are in this completely receptive, vulnerable state in a way of just trusting what you say. Whatever you say to do, they're probably going to do it in the class. So they're trusting that you are speaking with authority, from experience, from authenticity. And there's a sense of trust there that is a major responsibility to hold as a teacher. And in that trust, you've got to be true to yourself. They can't trust you if you're not true to yourself. If you're being inauthentic, if you're just saying things that you think you should say, anatomy cues that you don't know why you're saying it, but you just heard it before. You haven't embodied it. You haven't lived it. You don't know why this thing is taught, but you just teach it. People are not going to be able to resonate with you. They're not going to be able to trust you because you're not being true to yourself. And the true thing may be that you just don't know anatomy yet, and you don't need to teach it. You just focus on the things that you do practice, that you do teach, that you have embodied, and teach that. But maybe you do love restorative yoga, and you've had profound, deep healing experiences in restorative yoga, so teach that. Even though you really like vinyasa, you wish you could teach vinyasa, you want to teach vinyasa, but when you do it, you mix up your sides, you try to throw in stuff, your students get out of breath, whatever, you're just not there yet, So keep practicing, keep learning, keep growing. Eventually teach it if you want to. But right now, in this moment, this week, as listening to this episode, with the next thing you teach, teach the thing that you practice, that you love, that nourishes you, and that will feel more authentic to yourself. It will put your students more at ease. They'll feel safer in your class, able to trust you, able to relax, able to get the benefits of yoga that you got from your teacher because they were being authentic. And that is what we're passing down, because yoga is caught, not taught. We're passing down this authentic experience of embodiment, of presence, of mind, body, and spirit. You can't fake that. You can't just read that in a book and then repeat it. You have to embody it and experience it. And if you've done that even for a second, even in just one pose, you could likely help someone else have a little bit of that same experience. And you've probably had a lot more than that experience, so you can probably help people a lot more than you realize. And so much of this too is just the mindset, you know? So this is all just mindset stuff today, just how you're thinking about what you're doing when you go to teach. And ultimately, you're going to get better. Like, you're going to become less of an imposter and more of just somebody who has done this many times. And when you've done it many times, that's the surest way to build confidence. Like Michael Jordan would say, he's ready for anything on the basketball court because he's tried everything, every possible scenario, every possible drill, every possible angle and shot. He's already done it before he gets on the court to play the game. So the more you've got this experience, and this was my attitude coming into learning yoga and after my YTT, the more experience I have, the more I've been to every possible class and teacher and style and taught everything from 3-year-olds to 80-year-olds and everything in between, which I literally have, and I sought out those opportunities. You have this wealth of knowledge of, like, when you go to teach and you're in front of any group of people, there's no insecurity because you've already done it before. You've already taught them before, this group of people or this possible scenario. And if you don't, and there's always going to be curveballs. And if you don't know something, you have the confidence to say, I don't know what to do. I can't help you there. Maybe my physical therapist friend can help you. Maybe this other teacher could help you. Maybe Google could help us. But I'm going to focus on what I can help you with, which is what I've practiced and embodied, and I'll do my best there. And when you're starting out, it's not as much as somebody who's been doing it for 10 years. That's the cold, hard reality of it. And there's no way to skip that. There's no way to fast forward that. You just have to experience it. But it doesn't make what you have to offer any less important or valid or life-changing for the person who needs it. So if somebody's coming to your class and you've only been teaching 3 times, 5 classes, whatever, they are there to receive whatever you have to offer. So share what you have to offer with all of your heart as best you can, and then keep practicing, keep learning, keep growing, and you'll have more to offer every time you do it. So if you want more practice, more embodiment, more to learn in your own practice, check out the Deepen Your Practice workshop. Go to quietmind.yoga/deepenyourpractice. The whole thing, what I'm offering, I'm going to be offering this new mentorship program I've never offered before. It's all about experiencing practice, experience and embodiment. Giving you practice with mantras, mudras, meditations, asana, anatomy, Ayurveda, all of it. So you've embodied it, so you've practiced it, right? This is what I'm sharing based on my experience of, okay, I want to try this, I want to learn that, I want to know as much as possible, so I'm ready for as much as possible as a teacher. And I've just experienced a lot. I've experienced a lot of parts of myself and my practice and my psyche and my own life through the asana and meditation and mudras and everything else. So this is what I'll be sharing in the upcoming mentorship program. But if you want to learn about that, if you want to start working with me and see what I have to offer and see if it's the right fit, check out the Deepen Your Practice workshop, quietmind.yoga/deepenyourpractice. And then if you want to sign up, you'll have an opportunity to do that there and go deeper with me in the mentorship program, which I'm very excited about. And this is the best place, I think the best offer that I've seen, and I've looked at everything out there. I'm a big nerd. Love to research. It's like, is anyone doing something like this? And they're not. So I want to create something like this where it's all about immersing in practice and giving you a wide range of experiences so you feel well-versed in the whole world of yoga that's available to us. And knowing, of course, it's infinite, it's lifelong, there's always new layers and new levels. But this is what I think one of the best ways to immerse and practice. So quiet mind at yoga.com/ deepen your practice if you want to check out more. If you enjoyed this podcast, leave a review, share it with a friend, and I hope you feel a little bit less like an imposter today. And I look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training Podcast.